Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Attract and Standout podcast. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I am so excited for today's conversation. We have with me Haley Rowe. Welcome, Haley, to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So take us back a little bit. How did you get into this work that you do? And tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing.
Yeah. So I am a marketing and sales coach and consultant. And then I also do a done-for-you service called LinkedIn lead generation. So I got into business and marketing, not in the way you'd think. So back in like 2010, I was pretty young and I started my first business, and I also got my first coaching certification because I had an interest in like fitness and personal development. And so I wanted to start to just get some certifications and ended up getting my bachelor's in entrepreneurship. And then I was like, well, I do want to have my own business, but I don't really know quite yet what I want it to look like, who I want to be working with, all that kind of stuff. And so I ended up working in business development and marketing for some startups, and they were all in the personal development or wellness space. And I loved it because it was combining my passion for entrepreneurship and marketing and learning copy and having to work in a fast-paced environment with some of my passions and helping make the world a better place with the power of coaching or personal development-based products. So I loved it. And then in 2017, the company that I worked for, actually the day after Halloween, had to let everybody go in one day because they had a lot of delays they were experiencing. They had brought everybody on a little early. And the thing about working at startups is you are all invested. I moved across the country for this job. I was working all the time. I didn't really have a social life during that time period in my life. And of course, I could have probably set some better boundaries, but you're also really invested in it and you want to see it take off and you're a key part to the team. And so I realized, even though I had been told, you know, like, oh, like this is all looking great, like you're doing a great job, you might even get a promotion, like it all ended very quickly. Yeah. And so I decided at that point, well, if they don't really know either what they're doing and they're figuring it out as they go, I guess I could do the same in my own business. So without getting fired, right? Like I could keep myself employed. So I decided at that point to work individually with wellness or personal development based business owners. And so I started to coach and consult them and develop my podcast called Health Coach Nation, which is for coaches who want to grow their business. And since then, I've expanded to work with other service providers, but that's how I got my start. And hopefully that wasn't too long.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love how you shared, like, you were all in with this company and things didn't work out. And so it inspired you to like, well, I'm going to go all into myself. I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket and believing that I can do this thing. And I think that a lot, like, I know when I think back to like starting my business, I was definitely, I took a leap of faith. You know, I took the leap and then I assumed the net was going to catch me because there was no other option at that point for me. I was like, I want something different. I want to be able to have like that freedom and flexibility and to do the things that I wanted. And I had a trust in myself. Like, so many other people are like, you know, don't start your own business, you know, stay with your cushy, you know, job and your 401k and like all those things that I feel like we used to hear, where I think it's shifted a lot now. Like, I'm like, those words would never come out of my mouth to my kids. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Like, I don't even talk to them about like starting a career. I'm like, let's start your own business. I'm like, you want, like my daughter, she's 12. She was talking about the summer we went to Hawaii and she was like, I think we should start a business like selling smoothie bowls.
And oh, so cool.
She's got the name built out. She's got everything she wants to do. And she's like, when we got back from the trip, she was like, well, are we going to start it? And I'm like, dude, you're 12. Like, who's going to have to run this shop for you for the next like 6 years? I'm like, that'd be me. And I'm like, I already have a business. Like, we will definitely keep that in on the side. But I think it's so important that we like look at like, how can we take care of ourselves and, you know, do those things. So how many years have you had your business now then?
I would say officially since 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're coming up on that 5-year point, which is amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I've been in entrepreneurship and in the coaching industry since like 2010, but I would say I officially count my, like, I'm dedicated doing this all in 2017.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when you think about the work and how you're supporting people, what do you think are some of like the key leadership principles that you bring to the table that have had allowed you to have the success that you're having, especially over the past like 5 years, but just in general, like what are some of those component leadership skill components that have really got you to where you're at today?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the first thing is decisiveness, because I find a lot of times entrepreneurs stay in this overthinking, shiny object mode where they can't decide what's the right niche, what's the right thing to put on my headline, what's the right, you know, time to launch my program or whatever. And the truth is, I really think speed of implementation is key as an entrepreneur, and you have to be willing to make a decision and line up with it and test it and then keep refining and adapting along the way. So your best bet is to give yourself as many like decision-making criteria that you can in your life, or make decisions easier for yourself by either having systems or having, you know, like you hear about these entrepreneurs who wear the same thing every day. Like the more things you can automate, they're like, no, it's decided I do this, and clear up your headspace to be able to keep moving forward. That is really, really key. I think another thing is I'm a quick starter. So it's really important to, if you have an idea, it's not that, like, I'm the kind of person where I do get focused on an idea and I go deep with it rather than wide. So a lot of times I see people trying to do, as we talked about, the shiny object syndrome, like 5 social media platforms at once, all inconsistently without a clear protocol. Like, and it's just, they end up giving up because they're so spread thin and they don't really have a plan. So I think going deeper rather than wider is important. And then I would say being solutions oriented, always having a quick like bounce back rate and focus on what you can do and what's within your control, compared to focusing on questions like, why is this so hard? Why do the algorithms hate me? Those are all stuck questions. Solution oriented questions are like, how can I work the social media the way that works for me? What would be reasons why my success is inevitable? How can I make it inevitable? Like questions like that are a little better, and asking questions, specific questions, giving your brain stuff to sort out. Like if you get bothered in your business or overwhelmed, what is bothering me? What is overwhelming me the most? And being able to prioritize key things that are going to help, you know, have the domino effect on everything else in your business. I think that's important as well.
Yeah. I love the question, like asking yourself those questions, because so often we could go down the rabbit hole of like, woe is me, like the algorithms, you know, are against me. But when we really look at like, well, how can I show up differently? How can I do things in a way that's going to feel in alignment with my goals and what I'm trying to accomplish, and not look at the, you know, whether it's the algorithm or whatever other components are coming in, it just shifts how we're looking at life. It shifts how we're showing up. And then things start to come together. Like it's when we stay in that, like, to me, it's like a tornado cloud where we're just like tumbling all around. We don't really make any progress. We stay stuck. We stay small. That inner critic comes in and we start telling ourselves like, who am I to be in this space? Am I even worthy enough to be here? There's already 5 million other people that are doing the same exact thing that I'm doing. Like what's the special thing that I'm bringing? That when we like really flip it and like realize like our gifts and our talents and our skill sets and the things that we're bringing, everything else starts to come together.
Yeah.
So when you think of like growth for yourself and growth strategies, I'd love if you could share, like, what are some specific things that maybe you tell your clients, or that you love to support the leaders and the organizations you're working with and the business owners? Like, what are some of those pieces that allow them to get the growth in today's market space?
That's a great question. So a couple things. One, I really love Alex Hormozi's framework that's called More, Better, New. And I use the same thing. Like, I would rather have my clients start with more volume of what has worked in the past, or why people have bought in the past, really amplifying and marketing that before adding new. And so first is volume of what already is working. Second is doing better at those things that you're amplifying the volume of. So, you know, if word of mouth has been amazing for you, why not have a word of mouth referral program and really focus on marketing that? So better. And then new is like, okay, once you're having those streamlined, they're going really well, they're amplified, then we could start adding in new things. So that's one framework I think of. But the other thing with growth strategies is I'm always about, let's think about what's the lowest hanging fruit first. So if you had to go get a client tomorrow or go get more sales tomorrow, where are those like little missed opportunities or things you can install in your process to have a better conversion rate, et cetera? Because I think a lot of times people miss things that like they're already doing on a daily basis, but it could just have that little tweak or whatever and be a lot better. And then the last thing with growth strategy is I am really big on relationship building marketing, partnership marketing, collaboration marketing, because the cool thing about that is you can get in front of many people at once, usually organically and free. And it's a win-win if you have a partnership with somebody, like if they promote you to their audience and they get a referral commission or something or affiliate commission, it's just a win-win all around. So big fan of that. And LinkedIn is another thing I'm obviously a big fan of, which we can talk about or not, but I love LinkedIn because I feel like it's a networking platform. People expect building relationships on that platform. It is a higher caliber, like people on there tend to make more, tend to be more serious, et cetera. So I'm a huge fan of using LinkedIn for my business and connecting with my potential clients or my potential partners. And obviously there's a right and a wrong way to do it. Meaning some people go on there and misuse it and send really salesy pitches and stuff like that. But there's also a right way to use it when building relationships. So those would be kind of broad span the kinds of things I'm interested in with clients.
Yeah, I love that. And I'd love, let's go a little bit deeper on the LinkedIn piece, because I know that's an area that you're an expert in and you work a lot with your clients on LinkedIn. What are some things that you're seeing, like as we're going into a new year and we have new goals and we're, you know, maybe many of the people are listening are maybe looking for new careers or they're looking to grow their business in that space. What are some of the techniques and industry, I want to say hacks, not hacks, but like industry secrets that you think are really going to take off this year? And how can we set ourselves up for success, making sure we're using them?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is if you are going to use LinkedIn, I do highly recommend you get Sales Navigator, and they have a free trial month, but overall your connection request rate, meaning when you send a connection request to somebody you want to connect with in your field or locally or with mutual contacts or a potential client, you're going to have a way higher connection rate. I don't have the reasons why, but it is that way. So you definitely want that. It allows you to do better targeting. And I think the other thing to keep in mind with LinkedIn is it's a very cool process where once you're connected with somebody, they're going to keep seeing your stuff. So just staying consistent with it and using the maximum amount of connection requests you can use with Sales Navigator, which is 200 per week currently with LinkedIn. Sometimes they change that. I don't know why the theory behind that, but every once in a while they'll give a new number and then they'll change it back.
Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. So anywho, normally it's 200 a week right now as it stands. But anyways, that's a great way to just constantly be expanding your network. And I think the other thing is, or like an industry secret, is think about how can you stand out and make it more personal. So I don't know if that's a secret or not, but I think a lot of people tend to have a really long message. And I think what works the best is a short connection request message, like maybe you're connected with somebody locally who could be a potential partner for you or something. So keep it short and simple, notice we're both in the local area. And then the second message would be something that asks a question, open up and explore conversation, if they have a need or goal, if it's a potential client, or if they are open to partnership or collaboration, if it's a potential collab partner. So ending it in an open question, keeping it short, that's going to be really important because our attention spans keep getting shorter and shorter. And that is pretty important.
Yeah, I love those tips. It's like, I personally use LinkedIn as one of my lead sources, and I love building relationships and connections on there. And like you alluded to, like so many people are coming at it from a salesy angle, like before they even say, you know, hey, my name is, or like trying to sell their thing at you in the chat. And I think that's what discourages so many people from using LinkedIn is because we get so many people that is like, are we really here trying to make, I mean, we all know we're all in business or we have careers and we're, you know, building our community and our connection. And how can we partner with each other? How do we collaborate? How do we come together and support each other versus it being like just like a sales place is what most of us are thinking about.
Yeah. And one other little secret is if you are going to be posting on LinkedIn, I have, they have indicated that LinkedIn doesn't like when your call to action in your post is something like DM me yes, or like comment yes below for the free guide. LinkedIn, if you're going to post and work the algorithm there, they like calls to action that are like comment, like engaging. So like share, which tip did I miss? Or which thing would you add to my favorite books list? Or what's your favorite way to blah, blah, blah. Like, so asking a question that will invite engaging in the comments is really, they like that more than like a DM that like a call to action that's a little bit salesy. And the other thing is you want your posts on LinkedIn to be 8 lines or more, where people will have to click read more. That is a good, for some reason they like when people do that, it indicates that your post is valuable. So obviously don't just add lines to add lines and have so much fluff in your post that it's like really hard to read, but do spread out your paragraphs and do make your posts 8 lines or more if you can.
Yeah. I visually appreciate that because sometimes when it's like one big block of text, I can't read it. I'm a skim reader. I'm like, if it's short, and I'm like, I love when it's easy for me like to digest it really quickly. I can take in the content, the information, or I can also identify quickly, like, do I want to read the rest of this? Is it worth my time and energy? Whereas if it's a giant blob, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. What do you think about pictures with LinkedIn right now?
That's
like,
good.
Is that something that's still grabbing attention?
I would add pictures. And I think a lot of people think, oh, I have to be super stiff and serious in all my LinkedIn posts and wearing like a blazer. And the truth is personal, you can do personal posts on LinkedIn and share stories or share something vulnerable. Obviously you don't want to, you know, be extremely unprofessional or like risque or anything like that. But, you know, it is like one of my dear friends, his best post was about him adopting his 2 daughters and it went viral and it had nothing to do with his business. So it doesn't always have to be only business in your posts as well.
Yeah. And I think so for so long, people are like, that's a Facebook type of post or like, get that out of here. And I've been playing on LinkedIn for a long time now. And I don't post pictures of my food or those types of things because it doesn't feel like there's no through line for me. There's no connection there, but I love sharing stories. I love talking about like life lessons I learned when I'm out with my daughter or walking my dog or, you know, working with clients. Like those stories really connect. And I know there's a stat, I forget who said it, but like people are 22 times more likely to connect with you when you share story. So I always encourage my clients, like share some story before you get into like the 5 amazing tips to blank, like whatever it is you're going to talk about, like share some story, grab their attention. They're going to remember that so much more. And they're going to think like, oh, I remember that story, you know, that Haley told or that Darlene told, and they're going to want to come back and get more of that. Where if it's just, there's so many places to find information now, like when we can really make it that true connection with people and we start to build that know, like, and trust ability, like we call people in that way.
Definitely.
What do you think is like, obviously when we're putting ourselves out there and social media and LinkedIn specifically, like we're communicating, we're sharing our brand, we're sharing a lot about who we are. What is one of the quickest ways that you feel like you can build trust with your community when you're just like starting from that place of like, I'm not being spammy and salesy, but I want to build this relationship. How can we do that quickly without it feeling like it takes forever? Because I don't know about you, but like I work with a lot of organizations right now. And sometimes I feel like I have to do 30 outreaches or 30 touches to build those relationships. Cause that's just how long things are taking today because of our bandwidth. How do we build that trust quicker?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. One is make sure your language is targeted to specifically who you want to work with and attract and repel maybe the other people. So when people feel like you're talking directly to them using their own words, that's going to build trust faster and better. So don't don't guess what your audience wants. Really interview them, ask them, hear from them, think about your best clients and what they're saying to you, and use that for your inspiration. The other thing is personalization. So I like to, rather than expecting people to remember you, know you, comment on your stuff, engage with you, take the initiative to get to know them, ask them questions, make them feel noticed, thank them for being a part of your community. So whether that means when you get a new follower on Instagram, for example, if you're not saying like, thank you, and acknowledging them and personally, like reaching out to them and saying thank you, I think you should, right? So you got to start, as you said, you got to start building those touch points early. And that can help somebody, like when you listen to them, like, hey, do you have a podcast topic you'd love to hear? I'm planning my next month of content. What would be useful when it comes to business, right? That would be a good question. So being personable. And then I think the other thing with building trust is anytime you can get in front of a new audience, being endorsed by somebody, meaning, which is why I'm such a big fan of partnerships. Like if I came into a program as a guest speaker, immediately I'm going to have more trust because the founder of that program is bringing me in and trusts me and is introducing me to their audience rather than me coldly reaching out to their audience and them not knowing, you know, them not be their leader. It did not introduce me. So warm intros, warm referrals, getting in front of somebody else's audience, being kind of like seen as a expert by that person who's bringing you in, that's way more effective than if it's just nobody knows you and you're coldly reaching out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that relationship skill building is so valuable and so important. And like to highlight on some of the things you said, like I call it liquid gold when it comes to like using your ideal clients. I'm like, that's liquid gold. So if your ideal clients are saying something specifically, absolutely use it in your messaging because it's so powerful. They're like, they connect so quickly to it. And then one of the questions that I've been using that seems to be getting some great conversation started is, I'm like, what's exciting in your world right now? Like super simple question, nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's a positive question. That works better than saying, what's the worst things going, like, what are you struggling with right now? The question about what are you excited about is better because it's people are more open to sharing that when they don't know you compared to like a negative question. They don't know you yet. They're not going to share their vulnerabilities probably.
Yeah. You know? And I get such cool responses back. Like sometimes it's like, you know, I'm about to have a baby or it's, I got invited to do this thing or I just won this award. Like I've gotten so many cool responses back. I'm like, I love asking that question because it's like, it's different than what I feel like I typically get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking them, like they're thinking about different things and it doesn't feel like we're just getting to know each other. It keeps it simple. Let's keep it as simple as possible.
And the other thing I'd add to this about the trust is, I love the quote. I don't know, Jim Rohn probably said it, be so good they can't ignore you. So what I mean by that is like, we live in a time today where it's everybody's competing for attention and everybody has like no attention to give. So it's not enough to say you have a free resource anymore. And just because it's free, people are going to sign up for it. You have to have such a good freebie or lead magnet or offers in your posts or posts that people are like, wow, this disrupts just all the generic stuff I'm seeing. And this really resonates. So kind of like what you were saying earlier about like stories could do that, but try to think about, it's not enough for you to, and don't come in with entitlement being like, well, I have this free offer. Nobody's taking me up on it. Nobody cares free and you're taking your time still. Why is that valuable? Why is this like the best free thing ever? You really have to focus on that nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said something that I say often too, like you want to attract the people that are coming to you and you're repelling people as well. And so how do you like really grab the people that are your right types of clients, the people that you're going to be able to build great relationships with, collaborate with, get those referrals. Like there's nothing more beautiful than getting a referral from either a past client or a current client, or even like, especially if it's somebody who maybe you've never done business with, but you've built that trust and that community together and they're willing to send, you know, the people they know, like, and trust themselves. And so those connections and those partnerships are such a beautiful, cool thing. As we start to round things up, we're going to round things up apparently today. As we start to wrap things up today, I have some rapid fire questions I'd love to ask just to get to know you a little bit better. If I could buy you a plane ticket anywhere in the world, where would you like to go and why?
Great question. Ooh, probably, well, I'm going to Hawaii in May, so I'd probably say that because I'm excited about that.
Which island are you going to?
Kauai.
Ooh, awesome. Beautiful. Yeah, I'm glad you're going there. We went to Oahu this summer in June, and it was amazing. But we went to Kauai the last time we went, which was like 16 years ago. And Kauai is gorgeous. You're going to love it. It's so quiet and relaxing, and the waterfalls and all of that. It's so like lush and green.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful. And so self-care, mental health, and like just taking care of us is so important. What are some ways that you make sure that you're like refueling your soul so that you can keep showing up every day?
Yeah, journaling. So I like to give myself question prompts and brain dumps of my thoughts in a journal. Sauna, walks, and I love listening to podcasts. That actually helps get my brain. Surprisingly, I know that can probably round some people's, like wind some people's brains up, but for me, it's actually really nice to like get out of my own stuff and listen to somebody else talk.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that you mentioned sauna. I don't think I've heard that one in quite a while. I haven't been in a sauna in forever. I need to check in to that. I love saunas.
Me too.
When you think about the impact that you're going to leave in this world and like your legacy, what are some things that you try to bring into your daily life to make sure that you're leaving that ripple effect?
Yeah, I would say number one, helping other people gain more of an internal locus of control. Cause I really do think like progress and feeling like you are capable of doing the things you want to do in life is the key to happiness. Whether that's, it doesn't matter what area of life it's in, it could be in any area of life, but I really do think that the people who have that internal sense of like responsibility and control are happier. And so I want to help more people think they could like blow their own minds about what they think they can do and doing it. And then also being an example of somebody who, you know, marches to the beat of their own drum and doesn't like take, oh, I need to do the traditional path, I need to do it this way. Just kind of being an example of somebody who you can define your own terms and your own priorities and your own values, and that's okay.
Yeah. Love that. And what is your top value or one of your top values?
Yeah, definitely growth, honestly, in all areas, with family, with business, with just, I want to always be progressing and like, you know, in a positive way, not beating myself up. I need to be better. I'm not worthy, but just like, that's the fun part of life, is that it's all a game and you can keep getting to the next level.
Get to keep building it. I love that. As we start to wrap things up, I know people are going to want to connect with you and find you. Where should we send them to? Where should they go?
Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me. And if anybody wants to connect, I'm on Instagram at Haley_Rowe, HAILEY_ROWE. Feel free to share that you listened to the episode, any takeaways. And then I have a free client attraction class. It's about how to book your next clients without posting all the time on social media or being a victim to the algorithm. So that's at HaileyRowe.com/client-attraction. I have the Health Coach Nation podcast, the Marketing Hub Facebook group, and HaileyRowe.com.
Awesome. And we will make sure all of those links are down below in the show notes. So if you are driving, do not fret. You can get those once you get to your destination safely. Thank you so much, Haley, for being here on the Attract and Stand Out podcast. It's so fun having these conversations and really getting a chance to meet amazing women and leaders who are out there doing amazing things every single day. So I appreciate you being here. And if you're listening for the first time, or maybe you've been around for a while, please hit subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. And once you leave your review, send me a screenshot of your review, either over on LinkedIn or on Instagram. The links are down below, and let's connect. Let me know that you left a review and I will send you your next cup of coffee or chai or muffin, whatever it is that you want to get today. Thank you so much, everybody, for another amazing episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. I will see you next time. Bye, everyone.